I saw God yesterday. I looked up into the sky, into the face of the moon, and I saw what my mind has evolved to see. I saw a fellow human trapped in the instant of a scream. I saw what the pattern-seeking neurons in my brain have been bred to see. I saw something like myself doing exactly what I myself would do if I was alone and facing an endless starry blackness that was spinning into infinity. I would howl endlessly into that void. Well, I mean, it was one way to see God. 2 days before that, I saw God. There it was, destroying a concrete slab with the patient power of a green sprout, poking up through the light and the rain by sheer force of elemental will. I glanced down and saw it for an instant and passed it in a second. There it was. Growing where it shouldn't have been able, doing what it shouldn't have been able, staying where the odds were it would be crushed to death by an errant step of an unknowing pedestrian. It thrived. Well, I thought it was special anyway. I saw God today. I did. I looked into the eyes of the Supreme Being in all of its vaunted glory, every inch and curve of its physical form overwhelming to my humbled mind in its perfection, every breath a cataclysmic echo of the very first stirring, every word a blessing that rebounded into an infinity, every touch a praise to the vaults of heaven, and every motion a mastery of biology that well surpassed the majestic and bordered on the magical. It was when I saw you. Today, I saw all of you. I'm not just obsessing over one. You're nice, though. I've been a shaman for a long while now. Years. When people ask me what it means to be a shaman, how is it different from, say, a Wiccan or any of the other pagans? How can you be a shaman and not on a particularly native tradition? Well, I actually am somewhat native, and I enjoy an especially potent infusement of Penobscot blood on my mother's side of the family. One look at this nose, and the downturned mouth might throw you a hint in that direction. I am not, however, privy to any of the spiritual traditions of any of the Abenaki peoples. I've been called by my peers an urban shaman, a modern medicine man, I suppose. That'll do. One of the many things about being a shaman, native, urban, otherwise, is that we tend to see the divine in everything, all of the things. You, me, the floor, the ceiling, the air that we breathe, the idea that we breathe, the fact that we know that we breathe, the fact that we know things at all. All of it is a piece of infinity. You might tell me, Wes, if you're done with the hyperbole, would you please get to the point? My point is this, that I'm not using hyperbole. I promise that my effect is not born of extreme exaggeration, but by simple observation of the dynamic that I find evident in the world around me. What I see is this, in our search for the divine, many people forget to look inward. In our casting for outside help, our own strength and autonomy lay forgotten and unused. In our need for completion, the one direction we seem to forego the most is toward each other. I say to you with neither embellishment nor the grace of embarrassment that we are the gods. Okay. For some of you, that was a bit of a leap. So let me explain. We are, each of us, beholden or have been beholden to someone. Someone had control of our lives in a very real and or binding sense. A parent, a mentor, a teacher, a boss. We have had a host of people, just like us, that have had the final say in nearly every aspect of our lives. Your parents were your gods once. Whatever your personal dynamic was, whether they were beneficial gods, vengeful gods, or something in between, they affected every area of your life, and all things rested on their goodwill and their good graces. But I submit to you that we are not just the temporary deities of other people's memories. No. Look around you. With no thought of the overbearing pride that plagues humanity, look at this world for a moment and consider. We have already and often taken on the power and office of the gods. Whether through the arrogance of human hubris or the innocent destructive impulses of the infantile mind that runs headlong into trouble, heedless of the consequences, we have made ourselves into the horrible image of the Bronze Age deities. We have taken the bulldog and bred it to the point that it can no longer reproduce without cesarean section. And now, without our goodwill and without our devotion, they die. They don't just die out. They die horribly. The cold despotism, the moral torpidity, how has it ever been permissible, justifiable in our minds to take a creature weaker than ourselves and shape it until we owned its very existence? Until it couldn't be itself without us. Until it would painfully expire the moment we become bored with its maintenance. And we do it because we think they're cute that way. There is not one facet of this world that we have yet to touch in some form. The size and shape of the earth? Measured it. The heat and devastation of the volcano? Contained it. The deepest depths of the ocean, where only the darkest and most unknowable of life can tread, a 9-year-old with enough curiosity can plug a Google search into their smartphone and see a satellite picture of the very rocks at the bottom of the ocean. Armed with the power to bind the elements, tame the mightiest creatures, live in all of the climates presented on a temperate planet, and forge untold tools to our own desires, we take our miraculous magical abilities, put all of our species' collective knowledge into a handheld device, and use that device to show large multitudes of people pictures of our cat. And get into arguments with strangers. Oh, we are indeed the gods. With more power than the host of Olympus, more populous than the Hindu pantheon, and more accumulated knowledge than all of the ancient libraries combined, we are the horrible, unfeeling, vicious, irresponsible, apathetic, bullying gods. To the ant in your driveway, you are an unknowable force of nature barely associated with biological life, yet so often a harbinger of death and destruction. Do you see it? The elemental power that is us, we are the capricious, powerful, potent, unreachable gods. To the squirrel in the city park, you are a god. A bringer of much-needed food, of easy-to-reach treats, one of the providers of their relatively safe domain, and a binder and prison keeper of their fearsome, canid nemesis, what you call your pet dog. Their tiny eyes can observe that, just like Yahweh, we have bound up their version of the great Leviathan on a hook and tied him on a leash for the amusement of our daughters. They have watched us as we've taken the veritable behemoth, these carnivorous demons, out of their nightmares and compel the loyalty of these fiends to the point where they beg for the scraps at our feet and lick our hands for the privilege. To the family pet, you are both a peerless leader and an ageless benefactor. You see, from your dog's point of view, you don't appear to age at all. We are the gods. The all-powerful, unknowable, sometimes kindly gods. To the man who begs on the street in downtown Greenville, you have been a ministering angel of love and mercy, or a faceless granite mountain of impenetrable indifference. We are the gods. When faced with global climate change and the growing realization that the world on which we live may soon become uninhabitable to us, our collective response is a lukewarm meh. Maybe we should use a little less fossil-based fuel if it's not too inconvenient. Got a road trip coming up, though. Faced with systemic racism, ingrained homophobia, the constantly running war machine that sustains nothing but itself, poverty-producing habits and debt-riddled thinking, animal cruelty and the exploitation of the very earth that we depend upon for life, we find ourselves shrinking into the shadow, despairing that the obstacles before us are overwhelming in aspect and too complicated to defeat. We hide our faces from the suffering that surrounds us and fail to take responsibility for the chaos that we have either caused or at best allowed. We have a job to do. The authority that our relatively newfound power grants us yokes us to an irrevocable burden of protectors of this earth. And everything within it. You see, what makes the powerful into gods is a task and test that all deities, great and small, must pass. A story progression so obvious in its scale and scope that it becomes overlooked by the lulled minds of the pre-awakened warlords that we have become. We must destroy the Titans. You heard that right. A pacifist just gave a call to arms. Yet those of you who have studied mythology know this story by heart. Indeed, most of us know this story by heart because we've been telling each other these stories and versions of these stories for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, and maybe more in a proto-linguistic sense. The creature Uktena was cast down by the Council of Fire. Kronos, the god of time, Rhea, and the Gorgons were banished to Tartarus by the Olympians. The rebel angel Lucifer was called Satan and cast from heaven, and Crom was blinded and forced to eat himself for eternity. Similar stories. The details and the names change, but the themes are all the same. A great enemy dominates creation, and the gods rise up and defeat it. All to save humanity. Humanity and the gods themselves. For us, even us, to endure through the coming age, we must set ourselves to the elimination of these elemental purveyors of destruction. The Titans of today are strong. The great serpent Uktena, the devourer of worlds, he who bathed the land in fire, is now climate change. A devourer of this earth, if ever there was one. Kronos and his monstrous following are still with us in the form of an ongoing war machine that wipes out nations, cities, homes, and even our own children as they're made into soldiers and sent away to preserve freedom. Lucifer still corrupts everything. As he teaches people to value themselves above all others, he calls us to justify the present order and be tolerant of systematic oppression, white supremacy, patriarchal primacy, and the devaluation of our global neighbors as dangerous refugees. Oh, the Titans of today are strong. But I promise you that we are stronger. Humanity can be found in every corner of this earth. We have our hands buried deep in every aspect of everything, in the air, on the land, in the water beneath. And yet many of us stand, shrug, change the channel from the news to the latest popular television program and say, we can't do anything. Well, I disagree. Even the most casual glance at our interaction with the world around us tells a tale of our seemingly innate ability to destroy everything we touch. Our power is known and felt in the world around us. The other inhabitants of this world flee from our sight. They flee from our scent. They literally, not figuratively, teach each other to avoid the vicious, unpredictable, all-consuming gods, us. I will tell you a sacred secret. They that can destroy a thing control that thing. The very fact that we can destroy this place we call home gives us all the evidence that we need, that we have the power right now to save it. Right now, we can take responsibility for our power. We can take up the burden that our dominance has shifted onto us. We can become the caretakers of this world that we've long needed to be. The guardians of life, the council of heaven. We can turn from being the users of this world into the stewards of this world. We can save it. We can save it all. We can be the council of fire. We can cast out our great enemies of division, sexism, and racism down to the very fringes of our domain. We can wield the bolts of Zeus and banish those who invent new ways for our children to die to a political Tartarus. We can demand a change. We can create a change. We can be the change. If you worship something you feel is higher than yourself, go ahead and keep doing that. No part of this entire metaphor requires you to give up looking up to higher powers. In fact, if you look up to something that inspires you, a god, many gods, a concept of gods, a celestial idealism, or perhaps just a hope for all of us. Whatever it is, if it inspires you, please continue. Because what we need, what this world needs, is for each and every one of us to be inspired. Each of us can be filled with inspiration and then in turn be an inspiration. Each of us can, in the words of Walt Whitman, be indeed a god. Thank you.